God.
The epistle lesson for today is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The primary text for today, this feast of the Nativity of our Lord, Christmas Day, is the epistle lesson from 1 John chapter 4. The title of the sermon today is The Perfect Gift. Now, I imagine that many of you have already opened Christmas gifts. Did you get everything that you wanted? Maybe, most of it. Well, some of you are probably already done opening your Christmas gifts. Some of you probably still have a few more. I know we have a few more later today over at the in-law's house to look forward to. But hopefully everybody by now has finished their shopping, because pretty much all the stores are closed today. I imagine there were some people in Walmart at 11:55 p.m. last night trying to get that last-minute gift in before they closed at midnight. And I bet 99% of those people were men. Well, if you still haven't got everything, there is good news. Because tomorrow, everything is going to be half price that deals with Christmas. So, I haven't convinced my family of that yet, but I'm like, we should just shop after Christmas Day. We have 12 days, right, to get the stuff. But I don't think that would go over too well. Well, for most people, all that remains now, and that's probably reflected in some of our lower attendance this morning than last night, is to enjoy those gifts. Is to enjoy them, those gifts, and admire them, those gifts that we received. There is really no denying that gifts play an important part in our Christmas celebration, even for us as Christians. We don't want to put all the focus on those earthly gifts we get, but it is a big part of the celebration, and the tradition of giving gifts is rooted in Christian tradition, as the wise men brought gifts to Jesus. But we've been inundated with ads now, even since Halloween, haven't we? Deals on things that we supposedly can't live without. So what is the perfect gift? Do you have a particular thing in your mind right now? Now, some Christmas movies even center around getting a particular gift, like a Red Ryder BB gun or a big Christmas bonus, or even if you watch the Hallmark Channel, getting that special someone for Christmas to love. Well, this morning, I want to submit to you four things that a gift needs in order to be perfect. Number one, it must come from the right motive. Number two, it must be expensive. Number three, it must have a purpose. And number four, it must be durable. So let's look at each of those four characteristics. Well, first, for a gift to be perfect, it must have the right motive. Love. True love enjoys expressing itself in giving gifts. The perfect gift cannot be given out of selfish motivation that gives demanding something in return. We've probably given a few gifts like this, haven't we? Maybe to impress a member of the opposite sex. Well, maybe we've even given gifts out of obligation. You know, I just have to get something for everyone at the office because it will be awkward if I don't get that guy that annoys me something. Or maybe even a family member that you don't particularly like, but you know you need to get them a gift. Well, the perfect gift can't come from these bad motivations. It has to come out of love, a sacrifice wanting to give. Now, secondly, the perfect gift must be expensive. Wait a minute, Pastor, you might think, because not everybody has a lot of money. Well, when I use the word expensive here, I'm not talking merely about dollars and cents. What I mean is the perfect gift can't be holding anything back. You must be giving your best as the giver. For example, a box of candy canes, it may be viewed very differently if it's given by a person in poverty versus given by a billionaire. Or if you have children, as parents, we've probably all gotten those little handmade gifts from our kids that they've made in Sunday school or school, which wouldn't sell for a whole lot on eBay, but they mean a lot to us. Third, the perfect gift, well, it has to have purpose. It has to be useful. Now, that's to say it isn't what the giver wants. It has to do with what the person receiving the gift is going to do with it. A great gift for one person may not be valued by another. Diamond earrings, well, those may impress your wife, but not so much your toddler. For a more practical example, giving a bicycle to a child that is confined to a wheelchair would not only be without purpose, it would be offensive. Now, if you could give that same child the ability to walk, now that would be a useful gift, possibly the perfect gift. Now, fourth and finally, the final requirement for the perfect gift. Many of the gifts that you will give and receive may have some of those first three qualities, but they all lack in one thing: durability. You see that toy fire truck that you bought your son? Well, it's going to be broken into pieces a little while after he plays with it. Mom's new outfit, well, that's going to fade and become frayed over time. Even the best quality products that the world has to offer, they will all eventually wear out. So, no gift can meet these criteria. No gift that we could give can meet these four criteria. So, is there a perfect gift? Well, as Christians, we've been speaking about the birth of Christ, God's gift to us, for some time now. So let's go through those four categories again and see how the gift of Jesus stacks up against those list of attributes for the perfect gift. Now, first of all, this gift to be perfect must be given from the right motive. Listen to those words from verses 9 and 10 of our epistle from 1 John 4. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In that love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, there are many attributes of God. He's perfect, holy, worthy of all glory and honor, all-knowing, all-powerful, and present everywhere. But above all, the starting point, as verse 16 says, God is love. This is what prompted God to give this gift. It was not selfishness, for what could God gain? He already has everything. He would receive nothing, and he needed nothing in return for this gift. Well, you could say that we would give him our worship and service, and that does please God. But does he really need it? No. God is still God, whether we serve him and love him or not. In fact, humankind by nature has over and over again showed contempt and ingratitude for this amazing gift. We've broken all of the Ten Commandments. We've not loved God with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We deserve worse than coal in our stocking. We deserve God's anger and wrath, but he still loves us. He loves us despite the dirty and repulsive and hateful sins that we commit. God the Father revealed His love when He sent His only Son into the world. But His love does not stop with those of us who are gathered in His house this morning. His love is unlimited. He offers this gift to all people. Not only those whose behavior might merit such a grand gift. What do we tell our children? Well, you have to be good so Santa Claus will bring you some presents. Because if God's gift was only available to those who were good enough to receive it, none of us could receive it. Now, unfortunately, not everyone will receive this gift. They will continue to choose to accept Satan's shiny, attractive, but deadly gift. And that only leads to death. The truth is, if you are part of the world, God's love is for you. Look to the manger and look to the cross. Look to the empty tomb. God's gift truly comes from the perfect motive, love. Now, the second quality of the perfect gift is it must be expensive. Now, is the gift of which the Bible speaks of expensive? Well, it's a matter of perspective. It depends if you are the one receiving or giving the gift. Because for us, the receivers of the gift, it is free. The perfect gift is free. The forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, it has been paid for by God Himself. And just like you would not expect someone who gives you an expensive gift to turn around and ask you to pay for a portion of the cost, that would be kind of offensive, wouldn't it? And it wouldn't be much of a gift then, would it? God does not expect us to pay for part of the gift either. He gives it completely out of what He has paid for, out of love. But it would not be totally correct to say that this gift is free. Because it was very expensive for God, wasn't it? God the Father has only one Son. And He sacrificed Him for everyone. Just as we heard in the gospel lesson, and I love verse 14 of John 1. It's one of my favorite verses. It tells us that God came in the flesh. He became flesh and dwelt among us. He left the glories of heaven for a humble life on earth. You see, the Father could have sent His Son as a great king with gold, jewels, and other riches. He could have sent Him as a military or political hero that would vanquish the foes of Israel and set up an earthly kingdom. And in fact, that's what many expected the Messiah would do when He arrived. But the Son of God had a humble, even a humiliating birth. He was born of a virgin Mary. His earthly father, Joseph, had to swallow his pride, his emotions, and his plans and trust God in faith to do what the angel told him. The Son of God would not be born in a palace, but in a stable, surrounded by animals. And actually, the only bed available when He was born was the feeding trough that the animals ate out of. If you can imagine putting your newborn baby in the place where your animals eat out of, that is where the Son of God went on that first Christmas day. Well, He would later be rejected by His own people. He grew up in a blue-collar family in a small town of Nazareth that nobody really respected. But even His own hometown, when He returned, they tried to throw Him off a cliff. Some gratitude. Well, then He was mocked. He was spit upon. He felt the sharp pain of whip, thorn, and nails as they pierced His flesh. A horrible death, the death of a criminal, awaited this holy child on the cross of Calvary. So we may receive this gift freely, but never forget that this gift cost the giver a very high cost. And many of the very people He came for would reject this gift. So I would urge you not to make the same mistake. The third requirement for the perfect gift is that the gift must have purpose. Remember the example that I gave earlier about giving a bike to a crippled child? Well, the bicycle itself may be very valuable, but to that child, it's worthless. God's gift of Jesus is not only valuable, but it's extremely useful. Well, what purpose does this have? Again, recall the words of the Apostle John in verse 9. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Life eternal. I mean, really, what more perfect and useful gift to give the human race that was dead in sin? God told Adam and Eve in Genesis 2 that if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they would die. And after they disobeyed God, sin and death reigned. Every man, every woman, every child, by nature, sinful and unclean. And what this means is that physical death will come to each one of us. No matter how giving that we are this Christmas season, or any time of the year for that matter, nothing that we can do can overcome this. What is our hope, our only hope of overcoming sin and death? It's not in ourselves, but it's in the gift of Jesus. Romans 6:23 sums it up. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And death without the gift of Jesus, well, that's worse than physical death. Spiritual death means separation from God and all that is good in hell. But thanks be to God that no sooner had sin entered the world than God promised a Savior. The gift would be delivered in a stable in a seemingly insignificant town called Bethlehem among the beasts on that first Christmas night. So the gift of Jesus, it has the utmost purpose. Jesus himself said it clearly in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So that finally, that brings us to that fourth requirement of the perfect gift, which is, remember, durability. Verse 14, we have seen and testified that God the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. John 3:16 declares that all who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. An eternal gift, one without an expiration date and one that will never wear out or fade with time. The gift of Jesus is durable. Jesus says in St. Matthew 28:20, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And as we heard earlier, we're all sinners. God has given us a will, a free will, a self-will to rebel against God and reject this gift. But when we receive the gift in faith, we have the promise of God himself that he will hold fast to us and keep us eternally. Again, from the Gospel of John chapter 10. And I give unto them eternal life. And they never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's a durable gift. So there you have it this morning. The perfect gift. Jesus. But there's one more thing that you have to know about this perfect gift. In order for this gift to be perfect, you must have it. Again, back to that child in the wheelchair. Let's say that you told this child about a doctor that you knew that could perform the surgery that she could walk again and it wouldn't cost her a penny. But then you provided no way for the child to get to the surgery, to receive that gift. The gift would have no benefit to her if she could not receive it. So the perfect gift must be given, it must be delivered, and it must be received. God the Father not only told us about the way of salvation, he not only sent his Son to earth on the cross, he gave his Son to die for the sins of the world. And he continues to give him to us this very day. God the Holy Spirit delivers this gift by creating faith in the hearts of those that will receive the message of the gospel. So, we heard the word of God read earlier this morning. You have heard the message preached. The Holy Spirit works through the word. And we do hear these words. We hear words like this. And my prayer is that you believe them. Your sins are forgiven. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is my body. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. The perfect gift is given. Grace is offered again and again. One more verse from our epistle lesson. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in Him and He in God. Don't refuse this gift. It's for you. God's love is for you. Eternal life is for you. God's forgiveness is for you. So as you enjoy giving and receiving gifts this Christmas season, you may also be more aware of that precious gift God the Father has given you, His Son, Jesus. Share that perfect gift. Share that perfect gift when you depart here today in your witness, so that others may enjoy the blessings of this perfect gift. Share the love of God. Live in the love of God. Rejoice in the love of God made flesh and born that man no more may die, but live eternally with the Savior. To that the people of God said, Amen.